Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note, this call may be recorded. I'll be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. David Olson. You may begin, sir.
Okay. Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. I'm thrilled to be hosting the Policy Engagement and Communications Program's live chat on measuring the impact of your communications tactics. I hope you've all had a chance to listen to the podcast of our three presenters, or at least seen the PowerPoint presentations, which are all posted on the Research to Action website. We're all excited by the lively discussion now going on that website, and we hope that today's discussion further adds to it. So here's how our live chat will work today. In a minute, I will introduce our three presenters. I will call on each of them to give a very short summary of the presentation they made in their podcast. That will take about 15 minutes, hopefully not more. I will start things off with a few questions, and then I will open it up for your questions and comments. And let me emphasize questions and comments. We welcome both of those. So start thinking about what you want to say, and Steve already explained to you how to indicate if you have a question. You just type star one. But Steve, since my conference watch is not working, you're going to have to prompt me on who wants to ask a question. So let us begin with brief summaries from our three presenters on what they talked about in their podcast. And let me introduce three presenters very briefly. The first one will be Mo Adefeso, who is the PEC Mentor for Nigeria and the CEO of the Education Partnership Center in Lagos, Nigeria, a consultancy firm that supports education partnership projects. Mo has years of research on private sector participation in education. She holds a PhD in education and international development from the University of London. Our second presenter is Drusilla David, communications officer at the Center for the Study of the Economies of Africa in Abuja, Nigeria. CSEA has the mission of enhancing development outcomes in Africa through evidence-based research. Drusilla has experience working as a correspondent on various sectors of the economy with a Nigerian daily newspaper. And our third presenter is Elizabeth Barabwa, who is the program manager at the Economic Policy Research Center in Kampala, Uganda. Elizabeth has over 14 years of experience in advocacy, communications, media relations, and information management. She has a bachelor's degree in mass communications from Makerere University and a master's degree in library and information studies from the University of Botswana. So those are our three presenters. I've been told that Elizabeth might be a little bit late in joining us, but we'll start with Mo and Drusilla, and then hopefully Elizabeth will be on the line. So, Mo, let's start with you with a summary of your presentation.
Hi, this is Mo speaking. Hello, everybody. I hope everyone is doing well today. I'm going to be providing a synopsis of the podcast that I recorded and shared on the R2A page. And that was on monitoring the effectiveness of communication. Now, it is important that communications are designed and monitored in such a way as to ensure that the intended purposes are achieved. But very often, the terms monitoring and evaluation are used together and sometimes even interchangeably. There is a difference, however, because monitoring happens when we collect and interpret data to provide stakeholders with evidence such that they can ascertain how much progress they're making towards achieving predetermined goals and objectives. Evaluation, on the other hand, helps us to determine whether a particular plan was well-designed and well-implemented. So was it relevant? Did it have significant impact? Was it sustainable? Furthermore, was it effectively and efficiently implemented? Now, within the context of communications, monitoring is critical to ensure that creative energy and financial resources are not dissipated. An evaluation helps to provide informed judgments on the performance of a communication strategy or effort. Now, it's often said that a good evaluation should lead or enable us to incorporate lessons that we have learned into future decisions. And evaluations do that. They help in promoting accountability and therefore provide justification for the resources that go into a campaign. Evaluation also provides evidence with which to understand the effect of a campaign on the target audiences so that think tanks can improve or redesign the communications initiative. Furthermore, it shines the spotlight on what worked and what didn't, so that the organization can avoid making the same mistakes repeatedly. So it is really good practice to embed monitoring and evaluation in the communications function of organizations such as think tanks. And there are several approaches to monitoring and evaluation. And in communicating your research, you can adopt whatever meets your needs. There are, however, basic elements that underpin any monitoring and evaluation framework. So there must be a goal and there must be objectives. And there must be measures to determine whether or not those objectives have been met in the time allocated and with the resources budgeted. So many organizations use a monitoring and evaluation framework called the results chain. This helps to focus their activities and align these activities with their expected results. The results chain involves five basic logical links. These links are inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impact. Now, really quickly, inputs are the resources that are dedicated to a communications activity, and very often they revolve around financial resources and human resourcing. Activities are the measures taken and the processes that we follow to convert inputs into results. Outputs are the immediate short-term result of our activities, and outcomes are the likely medium-term effects of our interventions at the level of the beneficiaries or the target audience. It's important to highlight the fact that we may not always be able to determine the outcome, but we can work towards achieving it. And impact is a long-term result at the level of the beneficiary and the society in general. Now, very often, the measurement of communications is heavily skewed toward outputs. So, for example, we're usually quite effective at measuring the number of working papers or research briefs that we have published, or perhaps the number of press releases or web pages we have produced. However, we need to strengthen our ability to measure how far-reaching our activities are, that is, our outcomes. Thus, we should be interested in measuring, for example, the demand for our ideas through media citations. How many organizations or how many policy stakeholders are actually citing us? How many media organizations are citing us? We should also be interested in web traffic analysis, attendance at our events, both in terms of numbers and in terms of the caliber of persons who are attending our events. The number of times that we are proactively contacted by key policymakers, these are very much more significant and revealing in terms of our ability to influence the policy dialogue in our respective spaces. So in summary, communicating research is an exciting process, but it is also one that should be approached logically and with intent. And I'm looking forward to our comments and our questions and answers today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. So now we'll go to Drusilla. Drusilla, take it away.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Cecilia, and I'm going to do a short summary on measuring the impact and success of communication, the podcast presentation on impact load. And first of all, measuring communication success can be achieved through proper monitoring and evaluation of communication activities. To achieve maximum impact, it's important that we measure outcomes of our work, and this will help us evaluate our growth in communications and measure the effectiveness of our outreach and also determine the strength and progress of our content. The evaluation is a key part of communication process, and first of all, we all have a communications plan, which is the first step, but without an evaluation strategy, you have absolutely no way of knowing if your plan is working or if you have to make any adjustments. With evaluation, you get to check the process of your communication progress to know if the work you're doing, how it, if it's working, and if it's not, why isn't it working? How can you work to improve the plan itself, or can it be refined? And then, yeah, so it's important that we evaluate. I suggest three reasons. One, evaluation improves the effectiveness of your communication and performance. It will help you effectively engage with your audience, and it will also help you allocate your resources appropriately for your communications activities. The impact log, which the Center for the Study of Economies of Africa has employed to use, is solely for the purpose of measuring the progress of the center's work, our strengths and weaknesses, and then this process forms a basis for future planning, and it helps us judge our work in general. The impact log is a tool that is used to record and document feedback of outputs and outcomes. It's a database and it contains information of projects or programs or events or any ongoing activity at all in the organization. We use the impact log mainly because of its versatility and resourcefulness. It's also a precise and adequate way of keeping records, detailed records. And with this, the center has been able to keep its records and monitor effectively what it has been doing with communication activities and research outputs. It has also enabled the center to highlight its weaknesses to improve on ways on how these can be effectively implemented in the log. So far, the impact log has posed no challenge really, but it has rather highlighted areas in which we need to include more data, more columns and sections to include more information. The impact log currently used by the center has is designed on an Excel sheet. It uses facilities in keeping of records, and we have four sections currently that we use to track our activities. We have sections for meetings, for events, press releases, and bi-weekly seminars. And from this information the sections provide, we're able to gain feedback and track our communications capacity, which has helped us measure growth in communications and also redefine our communication strategies. The impact log is important because it will help you keep track of your activities. You learn how your audiences receive your messages, and you measure the success of your outputs and your messages to determine if whether or not it has affected policy making. You also be able to measure the effectiveness of overall communication strategy and plan. For instance, while keeping record of meetings with policymakers and stakeholders, it has helped the center improve on its relationship with this group of people, and it has helped and it has facilitated the assimilation of CC's advice on policy issues and the Nigerian. And then it has also helped the center effectively plan towards subsequent meetings. How to sustain the impact log will be identifying those areas which are not included in it. Yeah, I stated in my presentation that evaluation should be a continuous process. Monitoring the effectiveness of your output and outcomes will definitely help you form a basis for future strategic plan, and to also enable you that the organization will refine your evaluation methods accordingly. While CC recognizes the importance of this, we've also identified some areas that we need to include more in the log to give us to achieve a robust database. And these sections will include sections for research, for publications, social media and website analytics, it's important that we monitor all these questions so that we have a social idea of what it is that we are doing. And I'll say here again that the impact mode is quite resourceful, and it's designed to accommodate other measurement indicators to assess the impact of the sensor's communications activity in general. Yeah, and if there are any further questions, so I'll be happy to address that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Drusilla. And just a note that the impact log that Drusilla is talking about, it's much easier to understand if you look at her PowerPoint presentation, which is on the website. It'll be much clearer to you. Just want to remind everyone that if you have a question or comment, press star 1 and you'll be put in the queue for comments. So please do that at any time. We won't call on you immediately, but we'll call on you as soon as we have a chance. So I understand that Elizabeth is on the call now. We're delighted to have her, Elizabeth Barabwa, who I already introduced. Elizabeth, are you there? And if you are, please give us a short summary of your presentation.
Okay, thank you. I'm there. Sorry for the hiccup.
No problem.
My presentation is really about sharing experiences of measuring communication at the Economic Policy Research Center. And it focuses on why we measure communication, and the overall aim for us of measuring communication is to ensure that our information products and services remain of the highest quality and reach our target audiences in the most effective manner. We also have other specific objectives for measuring, and one of them includes trying to assess as to whether we are having an effect or impact through our products and services. Then the presentation also focuses on what we measure, and here we highlight three key components that we measure, one of them being reach of our products, that is in terms of breadth and saturation. Then we measure usefulness, that is we look at the quality of the information products and services as to whether the target audiences find them appropriate or applicable and practical. And then we also try to measure use to understand whether the products we produce are of any value to our target audiences, whether they gain knowledge from them or information and how they use it. And how we measure, we have a standard monitoring tool that we use to input all our outputs and outcomes regarding the various interventions of the center. And it's within this tool that we have incorporated 10 indicators for measuring our communication products and services. So for reach, for measuring reach, we have about 3 indicators for measuring reach, which include looking at numbers of copies of products we send out through existing database or through requests. Then we look at the kind of policy engagements, the number of people who attend, and the type of people who attend. Then we measure usefulness by trying to assess how many people are satisfied with our products or services. And then also the rate, we get feedback, try to track feedback from the users as to whether they find the content of our products or services useful. And finally, we also measure use, and here we normally look at the number of users who are using an information product or service to inform policy. And here we look at the number of policy recommendations we send out and how they are used. And the other indicator for measuring use is we look at the kind of response or feedback we get in terms of the materials that we have distributed, and also look at the demand on our internet and website. And we also do a media monitoring where we find out how we are featuring in the local newspapers and things like that. In a summary, I would say that is how we measure. And the lessons we've learned, I won't dwell on the challenges, the lessons we've learned is that measuring communication takes more than only one unit to do it, because it crisscrosses all the other units of the organization, especially research. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And again, for more details of that presentation, listen to her whole website and view her PowerPoint presentation if you haven't already. Once again, if you have a question or comment, hit star 1 on your telephone. And we don't have any questions yet, so I'm going to pose the first one to Mo. Mo did a good job in her podcast of presenting the results chain and the five elements that make it up, which are inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impact. And Farai asked an interesting question on the website, which is that Mo made an important point that monitoring and evaluation of communications efforts has to go beyond just listing outputs and also measure outcomes. But what does that mean in practice for think tanks, given the magnitude of challenges they operate against trying to measure those outcomes? Can you address that, Mo?
Yeah, thank you, David, and then thank you, Farai, for that question. My response to that is that monitoring is an activity that should ideally be embedded into everything that the organization does. And I'm speaking specifically about think tanks now. And this relates to the point that Elizabeth just made, that carrying out monitoring, the monitoring function is not one that should be left just the communications team. Monitoring is something that involves every single member of the organization, because it's a strategic and a very important part of planning as well. And so my thinking is that if monitoring is embedded into whatever it is that the organization does as pertains its monitoring activities, then it goes to say that looking at how you can monitor your outcomes is simply one of the things that you do. It's not an add-on or an additional task that needs to be done. And now when you, as an organization, develop your monitoring framework, there are clearly responsibilities for different persons within the organization. And there is also the need to ensure that all of the outcomes and outputs and all the other elements of the results chain have clear indicators, so that you can very easily track whether or not you've been able to achieve those outcomes. And so it's just a function of ensuring that monitoring is an activity that is fully embedded in the organization, and that there are very clear indicators that can help the organization to determine whether it has achieved its objectives, and if not, what it needs to learn in order to ensure that those objectives are met in the future.
Great. Thank you, Mo. We have a question from Job at the Center for Population and Environmental Development in Nigeria. Job, ask your question or make your comment, and also indicate whether you're directing it at a specific presenter or if it's a general question. Go ahead, Job.
Okay. Thank you, David. I want to first of all thank all three presenters for a great presentation. But my question is to Elizabeth. I want to find out, because there are sometimes policymakers, they utilize your policy recommendations and they make no reference to you or the organization where such information was got it from. So how do you measure that impact? How do you indicate or measure that success or attribute that success to your organization?
Thank you, Job. I do agree with you that is a challenge that normally policymakers would tend to use your information and don't generate any attribution. They use it without attribution. But in our case, what we normally do is, if we really find that there is a statement that fully tallies with either a policy brief that we submitted to them, then we will go ahead and capture that and indicate that the Committee on Parliament used our information to either develop this aspect of the policy, but they used it without reference. And then we try to get the statement which is related to the statement they have used, and then we pend it aside. So really, the issue of attribution with policymakers is a real challenge, but that is how we go about it.
Okay, that is fine. Thank you.
Job, do you have a follow-up question or comment?
No, but just to add this, what Elizabeth has said now can be captured in the impact log, and the question goes to Drusilla.
Yeah, Drusilla, do you have a comment on whether that can be captured in the impact log? Drusilla, are you still there?
And pardon the interruption, Drusilla's line just disconnected.
Okay, well...
it's okay, no problem. I will probably send a mail to her to get a response on that. No problem.
Okay, okay, Job, thank you very much. And we'll probably get her back on the line shortly, so we can ask her again. And feel free to send more questions. But in the meantime, I have a question for Elizabeth, and this was from Hannah. She said that Elizabeth mentioned measuring communications impact is important to assess not only the demand for information, but also what is not demanded or needed. Hannah wanted to know how easy it is, or how can you track or document what specific information is not being demanded or used? And if you realize a product isn't being used over time, should you immediately discontinue producing it or think of other ways to make it more useful? I think this is important because I've seen organizations that keep adding communications activities, but they don't stop doing things that are less effective. You can't always just keep adding new activities. You have to prioritize and drop the ones that aren't working, are working less well. So, Elizabeth, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts are, thank you so much, David and Anna, for the question. My thoughts are that, first and foremost, the very tools you use to track what is being demanded are the very tools that will determine what is not being demanded. In other words, by either going ahead to do the numbers or the frequencies, you will be able to determine which was used most and which was not used. And then the next step then, after finding out from that initial analysis that this particular product or service is not being demanded, you would follow this up with kind of a follow-up survey, like to find out from the target audiences, what do you like about this product, what don't you like about this product, and basing on the feedback they give you, you will be able to gauge as to whether you reformat that product or you simplify the content or you do away completely with that kind of product. So it's not like a one solution fits all. It will depend on the kind of feedback that you will have got back using other tools now, not the initial tools you use, but this time using a survey, feedback survey, a questionnaire, and then you'll be able to get feedback and use that feedback to judge as to whether you carry on with this product, drop it, or reformat it, or repackage the content.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I understand Drusilla is back on the line, so I just wanted to follow up, Drusilla, with a question that Job asked a few minutes ago about attribution of communications impact. And Job, let me know if I got your question correct. I believe you were wondering if Drusilla's impact log can capture the attribution of of a communications activity. In other words, how much of the effect of a communications activity can be taken by the organization that's doing the activity. I don't know if that's clear, Drusilla.
Yes, it's clear. Just like Elizabeth mentioned, that once you identify that your work has been used or has been quoted somewhere by a policymaker or a stakeholder, you can just capture that the details, if it's like it was used in a newspaper or television or radio, you could just capture it either a sentence, or if it's a link that you have, you capture it and you compute it in the log. Yeah, basically that's what you do. And we know that impacting on for the policy making process is a gradual thing. It doesn't happen at once. So you could just keep monitoring whether or not your work is being used at any point in time.
Okay. Thank you, Drusilla. I had a question for you, which is that you gave this very good presentation of your impact log, and it's very impressive. But I was wondering if you think that kind of system could also work for a smaller organization. You know, you're a communications officer. Not all of our think tanks even have a full-time communications officer. My question to you is, do you think that the impact log could also work in a smaller think tank with fewer communications resources?
Yes, I think it can work in a smaller think tank because basically when you are doing any work, you have to find out your output, the progress you're making, whether or not you have a communications person. So even the research staff can actually do that. You could just keep a record. It might not be a standard impact log. You could just keep a record of what you're doing, your research progress, and everything you're doing, your activities. It must not be solely the responsibility of only the communications person. So I think it can work for smaller organizations. So.
Okay. And I have a question, which is for anyone who wants to take it, Mo, Elizabeth, or Drusilla. And this question comes from Sola at AfriHeritage in Nigeria. Sola pointed out that all three presentations emphasize that monitoring and evaluation is not just the work of communication specialists. That's already come up on this chat today. So Sola says, without a general and continuous capacity building for research, library, IT, communication staff, and others working together at the same time, not much may be achieved in M&E. So I'm wondering how you deal with that issue of trying to get other departments outside of communications to work together to implement effective M&E. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
This is Mo. Shala, thank you for your question. I think that one of the most ideal sort of fora for bringing together all the internal stakeholders in a think tank to review and redevelop the M&E framework, if you like, is embedded within the monitoring cycle itself. And so because the essence of monitoring, is twofold. It's to help us, one, take a look at, how far we've come and how effectively we're working. And then it's also to project forward to say, well, based on, what we're doing, what's the evaluation telling us about where we need to go? So an essential part of that, M&E cycle is where we actually sit down and we have a meeting to review all that we have implemented in our monitoring activities and to take lessons and learnings from those activities into future communications activities. And I think that space provides the opportunity to bring everyone on board to look at how well the organization has been doing, and now I'm specifically speaking to the organization, and not just how well the communications team has been doing, but how well the organization has been doing in communicating its research. I think that those meetings, those review sessions, really do have to be, for them to be effective, they really do have to be programmed into the timeline and the schedule of the organization. And if that is done, then everybody needs to be at that meeting and everybody is on the same page regarding M&E. Everybody can make their contributions and everyone can determine the way forward together.
This is Elizabeth. Thank you, Mo, for that contribution. I would like to add that it's also important right from the process of planning, because if you plan communication activities and have your plans shared with everybody else, then they'll get to know what you intend to do, and during that planning process, you will also indicate how you intend to measure. And for me, I see this, that all our communications interventions are hinged on our strategic plan, and a strategic plan is kind of a shared document vision of the whole organization. So at that stage, that's when we do bring in our communication indicators and say, for these different strategic objectives, these are communication related, these are the kinds of indicators we'll be capturing, so that everybody is on board. And then also at that stage, you start thinking through who will assist us in capturing which information. For example, we have cases where we have researchers represented on technical committees and sectoral committees of government. And we as communications people don't attend those meetings. And it is in those meetings that you tend to get feedback on whether the last recommendation you sent is having effect or not. So then we do encourage the researchers themselves to also come and give us feedback. We have a reporting mechanism. When they return from the meeting, they report and share with everybody. And then they also input the outcomes of the meeting in a particular section of our monitoring tool. So then later on, as a communications person, when you're going through and you're being asked how were these policy recommendations used, then you refer back to what the researchers had been reporting, and then you present a case. So I emphasize that planning together with everybody else of your communication interventions and then laying right at the beginning the strategies you use to measure will help you to finally bring everybody else on board to help you in measuring communication.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I think we have a question from Shuba of R4D. Shuba, are you there?
Yes. Hi, David. Hi, everybody else. I hope you can hear me okay.
Very well.
Excellent. Well, first of all, thank you all so much for being able to join us this morning, Eastern Time, and obviously later in the day for all of you. I think these have been fantastic presentations so far, so thank you very much for all our presenters. I have a question. I think this is just a general question, so I'd love to hear all comments on it. And I was just wondering, what are challenges that you specifically face as think tanks? So we know that measuring communications is a really crucial piece, and I was just curious, what are specific pitfalls and what are specific challenges faced? And I'd love to hear from our presenters, and Mo particularly, what are recommendations you may have for avoiding such pitfalls? So what are tips or tricks for avoiding such challenges, common challenges? And so, for instance, something I've come across is it's far easier to measure the reach sometimes than the usability of the research and the policy engagement piece. And I'd love to hear more about how others measure that engagement angle and the usability angle, if that makes sense.
We start with Mo.
Okay. Are you sure you want to start with me or end with me? Because I'm wondering if you don't want the think tanks to speak first, and then I can sort of speak after them.
Sure. Elizabeth or Drusilla, comment on that?
Yeah, I have to say that measuring usability or use is a challenge, But there are ways you could do it. One way that we've tried out, although not done in a very structured manner, but which I think if you do in a structured manner could help, is to have frequent surveys. Maybe frequent meaning if you have an annual communication plan, then you would say maybe after 6 months, midway the plan, you send out a survey to the various people you've been inviting to your policy engagement sessions, the various people you've been sending out your publications to, and then ask them, have a set of questions, asking them about whether they like the format in which you handle, you present your information, whether they like the content, whether they do what, and finally also ask them, how are you using this information? Obviously, people sometimes will have forgotten how they use the information, but there are few who would remember, and then they will detail to you how they use this information. Because we've got cases where people report back and say, thank you very much. We found this particular information useful. It helped us in designing a guideline. It helped us in designing a briefing paper to our minister or things like that. So I believe through frequent surveys and maybe also feedback, trying to once in a while even just pick a call and say, hey, guys, we've been sending you a lot of this information. What do you think about it? How are you using it? I think that can help you to track. These might not be quantitative ways of tracking, but they will help you generate qualitative information.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Drusilla, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I'll have to agree with Elizabeth. I was also thinking on the same line. While monitoring activities is actually easier, measuring the usability, it's quite difficult. And what most think tanks are doing, we're trying to inform policy making in our various countries, but this process is a gradual thing. It doesn't happen instantaneously. So constant monitoring and evaluating, you have to use every means possible to see if your work has been recognized, or you just measure the visibility of your work. You have to use various indicators. It could just they could be mentions or citations of your work. You could do the web analytics, your website download, your page visits. You check your events, if you have any events, the number of people who turned up, what was being discussed there, and then just monitor feedback. You could use your social media as a platform to also measure that. Yeah.
Thank you, Drusilla.
I think that, what Elizabeth and Drusilla have both said really is very true and very useful. And I always say, you know, when I have the opportunity, that one of the really important aspects of being able to monitor, you know, the outcomes of your communications activities as opposed to just the outputs actually starts with a clear sense of what it is that you even want to measure in the first place. And so outcomes are what we define outcomes to be as organizations. And so, for example, if we are interested in defining how useful our policy briefs are, and we determine in our minds that the way that we are going to ascertain that usefulness is via, for example, downloads, how many people actually download these policy briefs, because we believe that for somebody to take the time to download a policy brief, it means that it has some sort of value to them. And so if we determine that that's the indicator, then we know straight up that that's what we're measuring. Now, it's not possible to measure everything, and what each organization needs to do is identify what its measurement priorities are. What are those things that are most important to us as an organization in terms of perhaps our reach, in terms of usability of our products, in terms of even feedback. How much feedback are we getting from people? And I think that a really good way, you know, of getting feedback, although sometimes it could have a slight cost component, is by organizing focus group discussions with key stakeholders. And so each think tank is very clear, you know, at least has some sort of clarity regarding who their stakeholders are. Now, inviting a couple of persons from each of those stakeholder groups and convening them, you know, in a meeting, which is essentially a focus group discussion, you know, to find out how much, for example, they use your products or how useful your products are to them, I think is always a good exercise, because that generates the sort of feedback that perhaps some of the more digital, you know, methods might not be able to elicit. So I think that a mix of methodologies is important, face-to-face methodologies, digital technology and methods. But it all really, in my mind, begins with a sense of clarity regarding how we want to measure what we're interested in measuring.
Well, thank you, Mo, Drusilla, and Elizabeth for that. I'm happy that we have a question now from Constantine. He's the communications officer at Science, Technology, and Innovation Policy Research Organization in Tanzania. Constantine, go ahead.
We are here with Dr. Vitrina because her phone is a bit going through some technical challenges. I would start with my, not a question, it's just a comment, that the presentations were very, very useful. I mean, we as people, we received a lot of things that we wanted to learn. Number one, I would like to make a request for the tools that the presenters have shared from the organizations. If they see it possible, they could share with us, for instance, the impact log and the one that Elizabeth and our organization have been using. That's the request number one. But secondly, from what I see and from the presentation, it's clear that it is very easy to measure the activities and the input that we dedicate in communicating the research products. But again, there is always a challenge in evaluating the impact level. For instance, if there is a change in policy or law that a think tank might have contributed in one way or the other, it is difficult to sometimes to claim the credit, because you can have two, three organizations which have produced similar maybe recommendations to policymakers. So, and there's that tendency for policymakers not acknowledging actually that maybe this was done by that or whatever, things of such kind. So it's something that brings a challenge in research, but actually at the end of the day, when you're pushing for something and it happens, I think it's okay to say that in one way or the other, it might be your study from your organization that contributed to the policy change or a change in law. Yeah, so those are the comments I wanted to make to the presentation. Maybe we can also hear from between us, because she's here with me.
Sure. Vitrina, you have any?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, thank you. My phone is having some technical problems. Like I was actually disconnected at some point. I want to say good morning and good afternoon to all of you. Yeah, I have a question. Actually, some of my comments I actually raised already in writing. I'm not sure how many have read them. But I have this very specific question to Drusilla about the log. I really like it, the approach. But I'm getting problems, you know, to try to understand how it works, because looking at slide number 8, she's saying that CSEA impact log has four sections. Meetings, events, I don't know, are these communication tools? They're supposed to be communication tools, I think. I don't know what you call the sections, the meetings, the events, press releases, and now I'm trying to relate them to log on slide 9. So I don't know if she is trying to capture, I think, the impact of all these things, but how can you tell that what is the most successful tool, like, you know, because these are all things the media are saying about the organization, but to what extent do you know that these are from the meeting, they are from press releases? So I'm getting problems into connecting this. And I don't know whether the log on slide 9, is that an indicator, or it's a bit confusing for me. Hello?
Yes. Betrina, you asked some very good questions that may require more time to answer than we have on this call. It seems to me like this is maybe something that we could explore in greater detail at the workshop in Nairobi. But Elizabeth, do you have any quick answer to that?
Not specific to the log, but to the challenge of evaluating impact level being difficult, and then the issue of attribution that the gentleman first raised. I would say that one lesson that we've learned over time is to document everything, every step. If after you've done, the researchers have done the study, and then you start on dissemination, try to document the various processes. We had a meeting today on this recommendation with the Ministry of Agriculture. We had this meeting, or we disseminated this product to these people. Because then by documenting, at the end of the day, you'll be able to tell a story. And that's one thing that I think the TTI initiative has introduced to all of us think tanks, I don't know, at least to our think tank, something called the story of change. And when you look at the story of change, it's really about documenting from where you started, what interventions have you taken to influence, to inform policymakers. And you keep on documenting this. And as you go on tracking the various activities, interventions you're taking, at the end of the day, you will be able to tell a story, whether the policy has been effected or not, but at least you will have a story showing your interventions towards changing it. And then when it happens to change, even if those people do use your information and don't attribute, you at your own level, you will have enough documentary evidence to show that we did indeed contribute to this process. We might not have been the only people, but because we documented every stage of our process, we will have evidence to prove that we did contribute to that particular impact. So that's what I would encourage colleagues to try to do, like you're telling a story. We started here, we moved here, we went there, we went here, we hit a snag, but finally, maybe 3 years down the road, the policy was accepted because of these ABCD interventions we put in, but also taking note that you are not the only people influencing a given policy at a particular time. There could be other people. And we have a good story we can share also regarding if you have a targeted intervention, like we've had one to do with, based on our research, influence government to start developing a fertilizer policy, regulations and strategy. And we've worked closely with the Ministry of Agriculture through the processes, so we are able to document whatever we have done. The policy is yet to be approved by Cabinet, but we are sure by the time it's approved, we'll be able to provide evidence of what we have done.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I know we didn't, Betrina, answer all your questions in detail, but I think time does not permit, but I really hope that we can have this conversation in Nairobi at the workshop and get into more detail. And Constantine, I will follow up with Elizabeth and Drusilla about whether they could share their tools. You know, I don't know if this is something that they want to share or not, but I'll raise that with them and see what we can do. It looks like we're just about out of time. My information, okay. Yeah, I think we want to close on time, but I just want to thank very much all the presenters, Mo, Elizabeth, and Drusilla, for doing a great job and sharing this with us. They spent a lot of time, you know, preparing for this, and I'm very grateful to them. And I'm also grateful to all of you who participated. Thank you very much for being on this call and for asking questions. And I would encourage all of you to keep the discussion going by posting comments on the website, Research to Action, and on PEC Talk. PEC Talk is a Google group that you're all invited to join, where we can candidly exchange information. If you don't know PEC Talk or how to sign up for it, please send me an email and I'll help you get on that. So let's keep the conversation going in the month ahead and continue in Nairobi at the workshop. So thank you all very much and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.